Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from Fanball.com, here's the host for Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian.
It is time for America's longest-running fantasy show, Fantasy Football Weekly, an iHeartRadio production. I am your host, Paul Charchian from Fanball.com. My co-hosts today are Brian Johnson and Matt Harrison. Hello, guys.
Hi, Charch.
Happy Football Festivus, fellas.
Yeah. Football Festivus is not week 16, Christmas week. It's week one.
Right meow.
We're celebrating, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you say right meow?
Yes, I did.
Good.
I don't understand the reference. Is that an old Seinfeld reference? I don't know.
Super Troopers.
Oh, haven't seen it. Okay, over the course of today, we're going to break down every game fantasy style. We're in regular season mode. Finally. That means we're not going to bother telling you which team's going to win. We're going to tell you which players are going to help your fantasy team win. You'll hear letter grades for every meaningful fantasy player and a rationale for why we feel that way. We'll also answer three tough questions. We'll give you nine players upon whom you can take a chance. And we'll jump into a time machine to identify the players everybody's going to be looking for on the waiver wire next week. But you've already picked them up this week. Blammo. We should name it like the time machine segment or something. We should come up with some time machine thing for this.
No more premature speculation?
Yeah, it's called premature speculation. Right. We can't be better than that name.
No.
Forget it.
No.
We're keeping the name.
I was unclear at what you were thinking here.
It's the best time machine in the history.
Charge, are you drunk?
No.
Okay, good.
Let's begin with just some quick reaction to the Thursday night game, and we'll touch on it on and off a little bit throughout the show, but mostly I want to talk about the disappointment that I have in the usage of David Montgomery. I thought looked really good on all seven of his touches. Super frustrating. Do you guys believe that this is going to be indicative of the way Montgomery is going to be used long term?
Well, the offense didn't do a very good job for Chicago this last game.
So they
might have to make some changes here. Mm-hmm. Although it was interesting hearing Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth talk about Mike Davis and how he's the best route runner of all the running backs on the team, and they got Tariq Cohen there.
Yeah, whatever.
So what? Like, Mike Davis obviously has a role in this offense, and that makes me a little nervous.
Well, Cohen took like 40 snaps in the slot, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that was a lot of Cohen's usage. He wasn't on the field in place of Montgomery so much. It was all Mike Davis.
And even if, say, Montgomery was on the field the whole game with Mitch Trubisky as your quarterback, who cares?
Sad Trombowski.
They're not moving the ball,
man.
Regardless of the running back.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a lost opportunity for sure. We'll touch on some other aspects of that game as they may come up over the course.
Charge, I wanted to mention, similar to if there's a Thursday game where a guy goes off and you're chasing points, this is the rare opposite, where if you had Devontae Adams or if you had Aaron Rodgers or you had some of those guys that you expected big numbers out of, these guys just didn't deliver. So now you might have to adjust some of your fantasy lineups to try to score more points. You might need a few more home run hitters if you got some zeros or low scores.
That's a great point. You might need to go high risk, high reward if you want to try to make up for that, any Bears losses that you had. And for that matter, the Packers didn't do much either. So, Aaron Jones, huge disappointment as well. All right, let's jump into the matchups, beginning with the Rams taking on the Carolina Panthers. Matt, this is a game with about 10 starters in it, most all of the obvious Rams. Why don't we begin there? And the Rams.
I do want to start with the Rams because I'm downgrading the entire Rams offense a full letter grade for two reasons. Not one starter played a snap in the preseason. Mm. There's going to be rust there.
Yeah, there was last year. Do you remember that? First half of week one of last year.
Yeah, they played the Raiders and just kind of scuffled around.
Mm-hmm.
Second, the Rams lost guard Roger Saffold and center John Sullivan this offseason. Noted linemen Joseph Noteboom and Brian Allen are now anchoring the center of that line. They have a combined 110 career offensive snaps. And those two linemen face a pretty tough task this week against Carolina line, including Gerald McCoy and Brian Burns as good additions to that front seven. So Jared Goff, I'm giving a C grade, and I know you have him ranked really high. So here's the reason. People are starting to compare Jared Goff to Drew Brees, as Goff has the big contract. He's tied to Sean McVay for years. And Goff might be the new Drew Brees because Goff's passer rating goes from 116 at home to 82.7 on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, in five outdoor road games, he averaged 227 passing yards, one touchdown, and 1.4 interceptions.
All right.
He was bad on the road. They leaned on Todd Gurley all the time. And he didn't play like huge, awesome defenses either. It was the Raiders, the Seahawks, and the 49ers involved in those three, or in three of those five. So there we go.
All right.
Brandon Cooks, I'm giving him a B grade. Cooper Kupp's getting like a C plus. I know we don't do pluses, but
no,
yeah.
No, we don't do
and
pluses.
Robert We're Woods, I'm only giving a C grade too as well. Ron Rivera's
what?
Panthers defense ran zone coverage at the seventh highest rate last year.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Evan Silva, Brandon Cooks has the fourth highest yards per target against zone coverage. The Panthers allowed the fifth most passing touchdowns last season, and it was perimeter speed receivers that burned them the most. It was Beckham, Alshon, Galladay, Ridley, Godwin. They all torched that secondary for big fantasy plays. And actually, like Kupp, the most out of these guys on Fanball this week because he's only 5,900. Because the Panthers haven't settled in on a slot corner yet, and it's going to be some combo of Ross Cockrell and Javian Elliott.
Yeah.
Woods only has...
The question on Kupp, though, is, to me, all about snap count. Is he going to run 10 plays? Is he going to run 20, 30?
I bet he goes full bore. I bet he's in. Woods had only three scores in the first 10 weeks last season. Then Cooper Kupp got injured, and they moved him to the slot. He scored four times in the last six games without Kupp. Saw his targets, receptions, and yards per game all tick up significantly. I'm worried the Cooper Kupp back in that offense moves Robert Woods to the outside, and he's not as good. Todd Gurley, I'm giving a B grade to. Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson are on the bench. Presumably, this is the best shape of the season you're going to get out of Todd Gurley.
Start Gurley if you got him, for sure.
Let's consider the 12 games where Gurley was healthy last season. His six road starts, he averaged 24 touches, 135 yards, and two total scores per game. Only a few fewer touches and yards per game, but only scored one per game at home. Hmm. So they lean on him on the road. Let's go to the Panthers side. Christian McCaffrey, easy A. Dude averages almost seven receptions per game, and nothing about Jordan Scarlett scares me behind him.
No.
Cam Newton, I'm giving a C grade. It's not the injury that concerns me. It's a rebuilt offensive line and Aaron Donald. It seems like a game where Norv Turner will probably try to scheme to get the ball out of his hands quickly, which should mean a lot of running and short passes. Running with McCaffrey, not running for Cam.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Newton was already the 32nd ranked quarterback in average depth of target last year at 7.6. In immediate games after injuries over the past 3 years, Newton has attempted over 40 passes both times, short passes all day long.
Yeah, I think this counts as coming off injury.
Yep.
Even if it was a preseason injury, that probably counts.
I think that benefits DJ Moore more because DJ Moore's average depth of target was 9.6 yards. Curtis Samuel was 12.2. So Moore gets the B grade. Samuel gets the C. If you had the Bears or Packers lay an egg, Samuel's probably your home run deep threat for the touchdown because the Rams gave up an NFC high 14 receptions or 40 yards or more last season.
Yeah, although Aqib Talib being back really changes that secondary a ton.
That does help. He's going to match up against Curtis Samuel too.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, Greg Olsen, he gets a C grade. He's healthier than second year tight end Ian Thomas, and he fits into the short passing game pretty well.
It's another guy. Play him while he's healthy.
Yep, play him while he's healthy.
You don't have many chances to do that. A game that will not feature nearly as many starters, Washington takes on Philadelphia, Brian. And on the Washington side, outside of Darius Geis, is there anybody to start?
Not really. But no. We'll talk about Geis. Speaking of playing him while he's healthy, he falls in that category too. So roll out Geis. He's set to see the lion's share of carries, but he's running behind a very battered O-line. The Eagles did allow more than 4.5 yards per carry in 2018, but game script is not going to favor Geis in this one. And Chris Thompson is set to soak up all the pass catching work, and Adrian Peterson still a warm enough body. So just to see for Geis in his official debut, really.
Yeah.
But then a litany of bench players, Case Keenum on the bench. 36-year-old Donald Penn is playing left tackle, hasn't played the position in since 2017.
Yeah. And next to him is Eric Flowers. How do you feel about Eric Flowers, former Giants fan?
let's not revisit that. So that's like the most revolving doors left side of an offensive line in the NFL. For the wide receivers, Paul Richardson and Terry McLaurin are on the bench. So is Trey Quinn. I was close to giving Fish's boy a C here because Case Keenum has shown an affinity for his slot receivers, Adam Thielen, Manny Sanders. He even made Tavon Austin fantasy relevant in 2016 with the Rams with over 100 targets, but he's on the bench. And so is Jordan Reed. Suffered another concussion in the preseason.
He might play,
but I don't want him to play.
I know. At some point, Jordan Reed.
I think everybody wants him to go Andrew Luck on the bit.
All right, how about the Eagles side? Let's talk about guys who matter.
All right, Carson Wentz gets an A, has thrown multiple touchdowns in his last three starts against Washington. Philly might take their foot off the gas in the second half. That's the only concern with Wentz. He gets the A. So does Ertz. Zach Ertz, that is, has 80 receiving yards in four of his last five against Washington. And there's basically no chance in hell anyone would bench Zach Ertz, so I don't know why I'm even talking about it anymore. Alshon Jeffrey gets a B. Popped up on the injury report with a biceps issue, but should be fine. He won't be shadowed by Josh Norman. Not like that really matters anymore.
Norman's just a name.
Yep. And Wentz will throw multiple touchdowns in this game, and Jeffrey, a likely recipient. He did go for five catches, 59 yards, and a touchdown when these teams met in their last meeting last season. DeSean Jackson, I'm putting him on the bench. Has a broken finger. Wasn't going to play, but now he's going to try and play.
He's always a high risk, high reward, low volume play.
It's a homecoming and revenge game for DeSean Jackson.
All at once. That's right.
Wow, thanks, Matt. You took my next bullet. You're so funny over there. But yeah, if he sits, Nelson Aguilar, I don't care. And J.J. Arcega, Whiteside.
Whiteside. Yeah, if DeSean Jackson doesn't go in particular, but even if he does, J.J. Arcega, Whiteside would be a tantalizing dart throw.
See, I never type that out or write it out. It's always Jaws or J.J.A.W., so I had a little brain fart there. But yeah, Jaws would be in line for a significant run if D-Jack sits. And Miles Sanders, Jordan Howard, I'm just giving both a C. Philly did carry the ball 29 times and 30 times in both meetings against Washington, but this is going to be like a 50-50 split. This might be a revisitation of what we saw in the Bears' backfield, basically, on Thursday night. So just C's for those guys, and that's it.
Watch Jordan Howard get 20 touches in this game and just make everybody upset.
He's going to see more. He'll see more carries than Sanders in this game.
I wouldn't be surprised. A little bit like Montgomery. Mm-hmm. You know, these coaches just are so risk averse. They want to go with their veterans who they know and trust. And even if they made that draft pick and they're invested in the success of that rookie, man, it takes a lot to get those guys onto the playing field in many situations.
Really quick, though, if Reed sits, don't play Vernon Davis either. It's an awful matchup. Philly is top five, and just don't do it.
Falcons take on the Vikings. This one is a little bit tricky because the status of Stephon Diggs, true game-time decision coming for Stephon Diggs, and if he doesn't go, it hurts everybody. Everybody basically drops a whole letter grade because the Vikings receivers after him, it really tails off, and in games that Stephon Diggs has missed, Adam Thielen gets 20 fewer yards. He drops down a letter grade. If they can't pass to Thielen as well, where else are they going to go? Olabisi Johnson?
No, Josh Doxon. Come on.
Josh Doxon, right. I mean, everybody Chad gets Beattie. Hurt. So I'm going to pretend for our purposes that Diggs is playing, but if he's not, know that everybody else goes down a letter grade here. I've got a grade on Thielen for now. He's going to see a fair amount, I believe, at least it appears this way, of Isaiah Oliver, cornerback who allowed a passer rating of 101 in his coverage last year. Oliver's one of the bigger and slower corners in the league, and Thielen, of course, super slippery. Now, they may move Thielen into the slot some, and if they do that, he gets DeMonte Kazee, who is unusually lead-footed for a slot cornerback. So I think Thielen can succeed either place.
I hope he's good, just so we can say DeMonte Kazee.
Exactly. And if it turns out the Diggs doesn't go, then they're going to throw two bodies on Thielen. So again, frustration there for me personally, not only as a Viking fan lifelong, but also because I'd like to get this thing straight. We don't know about Diggs. If they both go, both Diggs and Thielen are roughly an A grade. And if it is Diggs, Desmond Trufant only plays one side of the field. They can just flip Diggs to the other side of the field and just hang Olabisi Johnson out to dry on Desmond Trufant if they want to do that. Let's go to Cousins then. So Falcon safeties healthy this year after missing last year. And so that, I don't think it makes any sense to regurgitate last year's terrible numbers for the secondary for Atlanta because they're all better now. Vikings offensive line was rebuilt in the offseason and looked far better in pass blocking than run blocking. I've got a B grade on Kirk Cousins in this one. C grade on Kyle Rudolph, who scored when these teams met in 2017, but I don't see an obvious reason to expect a big game here. Last year, despite all the injuries, the Falcons were still a very good tight end defense and should be at least that good this year. And then there's Dalvin Cook. The new-look Vikings offensive line really struggled with run blocking in the preseason, but maybe it doesn't matter. Atlanta's allowed the most running back receptions last year. They allowed the most running back receptions the year before that, the most the year before that, and the most the year before that. Think about it. Jeez.
Nice job,
astounding.
Dan Quinn.
Astounding. I mean, that's a team that's just letting that happen. They're almost scheming to let running backs catch passes.
They do have to face Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey the last two years. That skews the numbers a little bit.
It's four tough games. Dalvin Cook is a competent pass catcher. I don't think he's at the level of those guys, but he's good enough, and he should have should get quite a few receptions in this one. And if you give Dalvin Cook just a crack, you could get the 84-yard touchdown like we saw in the preseason. He is an A grade with Diggs and a B grade without. Let's go to the Falcons side, which has got a little more clarity unless Julio Jones doesn't play.
Yeah, what's
but he's
up
gonna,
with that?
He's going to play.
Come on.
He's playing. By all accounts, their negotiations have gone better. He's going to go. So let's start with Julio Jones, who has been frustrated by Mike Zimmer in the three matchups against Mike Zimmer's Vikings. Julio Jones' average line, 4 catches, 54 yards, 0 touchdowns.
Wow.
That's it.
That's Xavier Rhodes right there.
That's some Xavier Rhodes right there. Now, I think there's some question about which version of Xavier Rhodes we're going to get. Is it the Pro Bowl guy that was around 2 and 3 years ago, or is it the guy who disappointed and was inconsistent last year and then looked terrible in this one preseason game earlier this year? So I still think there's some room for doubt about Xavier Rhodes on this, and so I've got a B grade on Julio Jones. Opposite him is Calvin Ridley. Fascinating matchup there. As much as Rhodes and Julio Jones are physical versus physical cornerback receiver matchups, Calvin Ridley is all speed. He's a 4.38 speed guy. Trey Waynes, 4.31 speed guy.
Ooh, he's faster.
0.07 of a second faster.
That's right.
For Trey Waynes. It's speed on speed. So I think those guys get neutralized pretty well by the Vikings starters. I've got a C grade on Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, Trey Waynes didn't start backwards, though, when he was getting clocked running those that 40.
Well, now they're true. Well, none of the cornerbacks do usually. Yeah.
They should probably make corners start backwards in the 40.
I'd like to see that. Austin Hooper doesn't score a lot anyway. Vikings have given up 3 tight end touchdowns in their last 27 games.
Wow.
That's it. Just a C grade on Austin Hooper. And lastly, Devonta Freeman. In the last two seasons, the only 100-yard rushing games against Minnesota came on a single untouched, like 90-yard Kalen Ballage run against Miami, and then Jordan Howard on the final game of last year when the Vikings had pretty much packed it in. The Vikings run stuffer Linval Joseph missed the entire preseason, but rest assured he is going to go in this one. Freeman can catch the ball. Vikings are a middle of the pack defense in terms of pass catchers. So maybe Freeman gets a little something done that way through the air. So B grade, Devonta Freeman. There you go, guys. I should note, Everything Charge, available at fanball.com by going to fanball.com/charge. You get instant access to my free weekly rankings, our free $5,000 week one contest, play against me, our podcast, and it's your portal to guillotine leagues as well. Again, fanball.com/charge. Coming up next, it's a segment we call Take a Chance on Me. 9 players who you wouldn't normally start, but you can this week. You are listening to Fantasy Football Weekly, an iHeartRadio production. Football Weekly returns, courtesy of iHeartRadio. I am Paul Charchian. My Twitter account, @PaulCharchian. I am with Matt Harrison. You are Explosive Output. And Brian Johnson, you are on Twitter at BTXJ. BTXJ.
Yes.
9 players not normally in your lineups, many of whom are available on the waiver wire. It is time for our very royalty-free version of Take a Chance on Me.
That's what it
Matt's,
is.
Matt's face was priceless. I'm sure mine was quite similar.
When these 3 sleeper quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers hit pay dirt, you pay us nothing. These are royalty-free
Take a Chance on Me
players.
I see what you did there.
Uh-huh.
Very clever.
That is the same amount we pay for this version of the song right here. definitely, positively, in a very legally binding way, this song is not ABBA's classic. Oh, take a chance on me.
Are we not getting paid to play this on the radio? That's just how it should be going. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly. Let's start at the quarterback position. Brian Johnson, who is your take a chance on me quarterback?
All right. He was my final sleeper of the preseason because of his favorable start, and it starts this week in Arizona, and that's Matt Stafford of the Detroit Lions, of course. Arizona will be without both starting cornerbacks, Patrick Peterson and Robert Alford. They'll roll out Tremaine Brock, who is on his fifth team. Journeyman and second-round rookie Byron Murphy. Marvin Jones has 4 inches and 15 pounds, at least on both of these scrubs. Babytron Kenny Galladay has like 6 inches and 30 pounds on these guys. They're just going to dominate the red zone. And Matt Stafford, man, let's go.
I'm listening. All right. Matt, who's your take a chance on me quarterback?
Let's go with Andy Dalton, and this is a garbage time special. Seattle is 14-0 in September home games under Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
In similar garbage time fashion last year in a road game in Seattle, Nick Mullins torched the Seahawks defense for 4-14-2. And Dalton has actually been really, really good in September road games as well. In his last 7 September road games, Andy Dalton is averaging 308 passing yards and over 2 touchdowns per game.
Wow.
What?
You found the effect, the thin little strip of effective Andy Dalton. September road games.
By the way, Bengals 2-0 against the Seahawks this decade, and I recall
that's
one of those
17th
games,
time I've heard that stat this week.
Yeah, but one of those games that I remember because it stung close to home on multiple fantasy teams. An 80-yard touchdown to AJ Green was taken back, and it should not have been. And I'm still mad about that.
If we add in that new coach Zach Taylor was a coach of the Rams last year, and he's very familiar with this defense, that's all you really need to know.
All right, Andy Dalton. I'm not exactly listening to that.
Hey, it's okay. A 2-quarterback play. Come on,
it is. Nick Foles goes up against Kansas City.
Come on.
I'd rather start Nick Foles.
Okay, good.
The Chiefs' defense is in major flux with a new defensive coordinator, a bunch of new faces to replace last year's dubious group. Foles' best target, Dede Westbrook, works from the slot and will face competent quarterback Kendall Fuller, but nothing more than that. And actually, Fuller took a pretty big regression last year. On the outside, Marquise Lee and Chris Conley get to face two of the shakier starting cornerbacks in the league, Rashad Breeland and something called Charvarius West. Okay. Nick Foles, you take a chance on me, quarterback. Let's go to the running back position. Brian.
I have Tennessee's Deion Lewis, who is at Cleveland. Although he's been battling a foot injury all preseason and hasn't played at all, really, Derrick Henry will start this game, but he is going to flop big time. check out his splits last year. So Tennessee is 5.5-point underdogs, okay?
Yeah.
Last year, they were underdogs 10 times and favorites 6 times. In the underdog games, Henry had 11 carries for 44 yards and under half a touchdown per game. In the 6 games where they were favorites, he had 17 carries for over 100 yards and over a touchdown per game. They are big-time underdogs in this game, and they are going to lose. And Cleveland's over Cleveland's final 9 games, opposing running backs average more than 5 receptions, so this is going to be a Deion Lewis game. He's going to outperform Derrick Henry here.
You kind of convinced me on that one. I like it. That's a bold call, saying Deion Lewis over Derrick Henry. All right, Matt, who's here to take a chance on me running back?
This is a bold call, too, but I hate it. I don't even want to start him, but you can start Ty Montgomery.
I am in one league. I'm doing it.
If you're in like a 20-team PPR league.
I'm in a guillotine league where I might have to play him.
Montgomery should get snaps spelling Le'Veon Bell for the Jets. The Bills gave up the 10th most receptions to running backs last year. And last year as a member of the Packers, Montgomery had 2 catches for 56 yards.
Okay. C.J. Anderson, going back to this Cardinals game, which we all think the Lions are going to romp in, over the 12 years of Darrell Bevell's time as an offensive coordinator, his team's averaged 30 rushes per game. Kerryon Johnson is not going to get 30 rushes. C.J. Anderson will be a big part of the game plan against arguably the worst run defense in the league. The Cardinals allowed the most fantasy points to opposing runners last year and gave up at least 1 rushing touchdown in each of the final 6 games of last year. C.J. Anderson, I think my number one running back on the week is Kerryon Johnson. C.J. Anderson's mop-up is going to be good enough to make him a flex player for your team. Let's go to let's look at some of the guys who catch passes. We got some wide receivers and tight ends for you. Brian, who you got?
Yeah, I got a tight end, and I'm doubling down on the garbage time I'm expecting in Cleveland. So I got another Titan, and it's Delanie Walker, Matt's boy. He looked pretty good in preseason. He looks like he's back fully healthy. He's probably the healthiest he'll be all year. And Cleveland has been a great matchup for tight ends for years now. Last year, they conceded targeted. 6 catches, 60 yards, and nearly half a touchdown per game to the position. So Delaney's going to clean up in garbage time as well.
Okay, Matt, who is your receiver slash tight end?
Sticking with the Jets, Jamison Crowder. Sam Darnold targeted slot wide receivers and tight ends from the slot on 60% of his throws last season. Mm. Adam Gase's offense in Miami targeted the slot a ton too. Both Cutler and Tannehill worked the slot at over a 50% clip. Remember how good Jarvis Landry was in Miami?
Yeah.
With Chris Herndon on suspension, newcomer Jamison Crowder should see a ton of targets. There were only 6 instances where a wide receiver had 10 or more targets against the Bills last season. 4 of those 6 were slot wide receivers. Adam Thielen went for 105, Geronimo Allison went for 80, and Julian Edelman did it twice, had 9 for 104 and 70 and a touchdown in the other game. Crowder's going to get 10 targets. He's going to have a good game.
All right. I'm going with Rashard Higgins. He's the other starting receiver for the Cleveland Browns. Everybody wants a part of the Browns offense, but nobody wants one of the starting wide receivers. Why not? And here's Odell Beckham, who acknowledges he's not 100% healthy in this game. And if Adoree Jackson shadows, and he usually is a shadow corner, if he shadows Odell Beckham, that puts Malcolm Butler on Rashard Higgins. Butler was brutal last year, allowed 7 touchdowns in his coverage and a quarterback rating of 103. Rashard Higgins is absolutely startable this week. And there you go. Your Take a Chance on Me. Oh, glad not to have to hear that song again. Jeez. That is it. 9 players, not normally in your starting lineup, upon whom you can take a chance.
So, like, you promised we're not going to play that again? I'm going to hold you to that.
I can't make that promise. We're not going to play it again today.
All right.
That part I can tell you for certain.
We need some listeners to give us some royalty-free Take a Chance on Me options.
No, I asked that. I'm like, can a listener just make their own version of Take a Chance on Me, their own cover version? No.
Wow.
Oh.
What if we sing it a cappella?
I brought that up too. What if while I'm talking, Matt's humming the ABBA version of Take a Chance on Me? No. So we're kind of in a box with our royalty-free Take a Chance on Me music.
We need to learn these rules.
Yeah, let's work in a couple other matchups. Buffalo takes on the Jets. Matt, you already talked about a couple of Jets, but let's go to the Buffalo side of this thing. Is there an opportunity for any Buffalo Bills, a team that, frankly, most people don't have on their roster?
I got 2 starting grades. Number one is Josh Allen. He gets a C grade. He was a top 5 quarterback over the final 6 weeks of last season. However, much of that was based solely on rushing. He only threw for 230 yards. Twice last season in 12 starts, had multiple touchdowns in only 2 games. Allen only did play the Jets once last year, had a very forgettable day through the air, but had 9 rushes for 101 yards and a score on the ground.
Yeah.
That's what you're hoping for with Josh Allen. The Jets defense did allow 12 different quarterbacks to throw for multiple scores last year. John Brown is probably his best target. In the final 6 weeks of the season, Allen threw deep balls on almost 20% of his plays, and Brown is the deep threat. Last year, his average depth of target was 16.1 yards.
That's deep.
That was playing with Joe Flacco and noted downfield specialist Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
The Jets allowed the 2nd most yards to wide receivers last season, and 8 different wide receivers topped 100 against the Jets last year, so Brown gets a C as well. Everybody else on the Buffalo side is on the bench. The running backs, Frank Gore, Devin Singletary, TJ Yeldon.
Yeah.
Jets had a middle-of-the-pack run defense last year, but they got an offensive improvement with CJ Mosley, who anchored the 2nd-best run defense in the league last season. We don't know how this split's going to work out either.
I know.
It's probably going to be Gore.
Gross.
Mostly.
No.
Singletary's probably the change of pace with Yeldon getting the 3rd down work. It's probably bad. A guy I like, Cole Beasley, he's on the bench, but he's a stash on a deep roster. But there's not a ton of situations where you'd be starting him in week 1.
All right, let's go to the Jets side.
Le'Veon Bell, obvious A. Bills gave up 21 total scores to running backs last year. That was 2nd most in the league. Yeah. I already told you about Ty Montgomery. He's might take a chance on me back.
There might be enough to go around.
Robbie Anderson, I'm giving a C grade to. Should draw shadow coverage from Tre'Davious White. He's one of the better cover corners in the league.
Yeah.
But Anderson did post 76 yards and a score against White last year, so there's the silver lining. Sam Darnold I got as a bench grade, though. I mean, I gave Anderson and Crowder and Montgomery some love. He's almost worthy of a C, but
no,
not this week.
I don't think so either. You've probably heard us talking about the Guillotine League, the hottest new format in fantasy sports. 17 teams. Each week, the low-scoring team gets cut from the league, and their entire roster goes to the waiver wire. It makes for crazy waiver wire runs. By the way, I'm in deep trouble in one league. I had to start this guy in one of my guillotine leagues. Sad Trombonesky, and I started David Montgomery willingly in another one.
Oh, man.
I know.
The Bears are tanking you.
I could be cut out of this league when the low-scoring team gets cut. It could be me in one of my guillotine leagues.
But good thing you can still join them.
You can still join them. Join a guillotine league by going to guillotineleague.com, powered by fanball.com. Coming up next on Fantasy Football Weekly, we will break down more matchups, including the epic battle between KC and Jacksonville. It's the immovable object against the irresistible force. We'll tell you what to do when we come back. You are listening to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-hosts are Matt Harrison and Brian Johnson. We are all from fanball.com. You can hear us over the air on many stations around the country, and this show is also a podcast available every Friday on all major podcasting platforms, including the number one destination for podcasts, the iHeartRadio app. Kansas City takes on Jacksonville. These teams met last year, and as you guys may recall, only game Patrick Mahomes did not throw a pass, touchdown pass in. I ran one in, salvaging a day, fantasy day, but this was the only team to shut him out. And that's not trivial. Let's start with that. For all the problems Jacksonville had last year, and I think fantasy owners, you know, tend to remember a lost season, the five wins, but it wasn't the defense's fault. They ranked number two in passing yards allowed, number two in passing touchdowns allowed, and their defense might be better this year with the addition of defensive end Josh Allen, selected seventh in the draft. You would think that they would have poured draft picks into their offense, but
no,
they didn't do that in Jacksonville. They improved an already epic defense. So, yeah, that's something we're going to have to try to figure out before too long here, and I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be somebody that is only a B grade. This might be the only B grade that we give to Patrick Mahomes all year.
I still love him.
This might be it. Staying with the passing game, newly minted multimillionaire Tyreek Hill. No, he is also just a B grade. No secondary allowed fewer scores to wide receivers than Jacksonville 7 last year, and they surrendered a measly 133 yards per game to the position. That's the fourth fewest. Tyreek should expect to see shutdown corner Jalen Ramsey in shadow coverage. He gave up just two catches to Hill last time they met. So you got to be cautious with Hill. Now, granted, nobody would be surprised if Patrick Mahomes threw for 200 yards and two touchdowns to Tyreek Hill, would making my B grade sound moronic. But the Jaguars' defense is totally legit. Travis Kelce gets an A grade. Jaguars were a good tight end defense last year, but Kelce proved too much to handle. He posted a 100-yard game, which was 19 more yards than any other tight end put up on Jacksonville last year. Did not score in that game, though. Miles Jack posted the third lowest passer rating allowed in his coverage, and his speed's going to be great in shadowing Kelce, and I think that's another tough matchup. So Kelce, I'm still giving an A grade, in part because he's a tight end, and he's, you know, in with the few tight ends are out there, I think he's still A grade worthy. Let's go to the running backs, where it's a little bit thornier. Well, the whole thing's thorny, city, really. Let's start with Damian Williams. I don't think we're going to see a ton of LeSean McCoy in this game. Only 1 week in Kansas City, mm-hmm. right? 8 to 10 touches for LeSean McCoy. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that's enough to put.
That might be a lot.
But that is a lot. That's yeah. a huge ding yeah. in what you could get out of Damian Williams. Unfortunately, the Jaguars allowed the ninth fewest rushing yards last year, the ninth fewest rushing touchdowns, seventh fewest receptions to running backs, and sixth fewest receiving yards to running backs. So, I mean, it's all bad here, really.
Sounds like everyone's on the bench.
I've got a C grade on Damian Williams. I've got a bench grade on LeSean McCoy, just because I don't think the 8 to 10 touches is enough to get him where you need him to go. And we'll talk more about LeSean McCoy a little later as well. Let's go to the Jacksonville side. Of note, left tackle Cam Robinson is not expected to play in this game, and that is a big loss. And we saw how bad that Jaguars line was last year without Cam Robinson. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this is just a one-game thing for him. Leonard Fournette would otherwise be looking at a pretty solid game, and he still might be. Kansas City gave up the seventh most rushing attempts, the fifth most rushing yards, the sixth most rushing touchdowns per game to running backs, and 5 yards per carry. That's what Kansas City was giving up. So I still like Leonard Fournette here. He'll get virtually all the work. And last year, when Leonard Fournette did not play in the meeting between these two teams, TJ Yeldon went off for a buck 22.
Wow.
Gross. If TJ Yeldon can do it running behind no line, I think Fournette can as well. A grade for Leonard Fournette. I already talked about Nick Foles, my take a chance on me quarterback. He gets a B grade here. Let's go to his number one wide receiver, D.D. Westbrook. The Chiefs secondary allowed 14 receptions and 172 yards per game to opposing receivers last season, fifth most in both categories. And I don't see any reason to suggest they're going to be any better now. Slot cornerback Kendall Fuller regressed badly in coverage last season, as I alluded to earlier. He gave up a 110 passer rating in his coverage. That's the guy that's going to be on D.D. Westbrook, so I think he's going to be okay here. Now, I will note this. They brought in Honey Badger, who plays this hybrid safety role where he'll also cover guys in the slot. Mm-hmm. And that might be a problem for D.D. Westbrook. So I've got a B grade on him. Were it not for Honey Badger, I'd give him an A on D.D. Westbrook. And then here's your dart throw. Chris Connolly. It's a revenge game for Chris Connolly.
Yeah,
starting receiver.
Yes. I love it.
Marquise Lee, it's his first game back off ACL, missed all of last year. Chris Connolly, a terrific matchup against lead-footed cornerback Breshad Breeland. Connolly is a 4.3 speed guy. Breeland's a 4.6 guy.
Connolly's like 6'3", too.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
Connolly is a
4'6", slow guy.
Slow guy.
He was a third-round pick by Casey, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was a pretty high pick.
Yeah, so Connolly is your official dart throw. Let's go to Tennessee, taking on the Cleveland Browns, Brian. You already gave us some members of the Tennessee Titans that you like in this matchup. I don't think I can go with their quarterback though, Marcus Mariota.
No, he's on the bench. He could get benched in real life, so
he can be.
When you have Ryan Tannehill breathing down your neck,
yeah,
you don't want that guy in your fantasy lineup.
Correct.
And I don't want Corey Davis or AJ Brown in my fantasy lineup either. Really, the key is, well, Tennessee's gonna be without their starting left tackle, who's suspended. Taylor Lewan, and then their starting right tackle is bad and coming off a ACL tear in December.
Yeah.
And that Cleveland front seven is ferocious.
Yep.
So Mariota's not going to have time to get the ball downfield. So Corey Davis, AJ Brown on the bench. Tajay Sharp is actually listed as a starter opposite Corey Davis. So Adam Humphries might be the one wide receiver I would start if I had to, but I'm still not doing that. You know, I'm not starting Derrick Henry either. I put him on the bench. I mentioned it earlier. In the games where Tennessee is the underdog, he's averaging more than 50 yards less and half a touchdown less per game.
Okay.
And he hasn't played all preseason. He has not gotten acclimated to the new offense. I got him on the bench. That's that easy. And that's why Deion Lewis is my take a chance on me running back. And Delanie Walker is my take a chance on me receiver. I think the majority of targets in garbage time will be funneled to those guys underneath. So
I'm with you on that. All right. How about the Cleveland side?
A little different story on this side. Baker Mayfield, will give him an A. How much better is Baker Mayfield than Eli Manning, you ask?
Lots. I can answer that.
Yeah, last season,
even though apparently I asked it, I can also answer it.
Last season, Eli threw the fourth most passes of 20 plus yards downfield, but registered a lowly 86 passer rating. Mayfield, who started in week four when he started playing, attempted 70 deep balls, third most, but he had 107 passer rating. And there is this highlight reel going around of like the greatest hits of the incompletions from Eli to Odell Beckham. And it's horrifying to watch. So that's going to change for OBJ, who gets an A as well. I heard he's practicing today. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry about the injuries we're hearing about. Tennessee secondary allowed the seventh most touchdowns to wide receivers. And as you mentioned, Malcolm Butler is just awful. Allowed seven touchdowns and 788 yards in his coverage last year. So OBJ
terrible
is going to eat.
Although I think Adoree Jackson's going to shadow OBJ a lot. And again, I think Rashard Higgins is the sneaky play there.
Well, yeah, I was going to mention he's your take a chance me wide receiver. I'm hearing no shadowing for Adoree.
We'll find out.
We'll see. But Jarvis Landry, I almost want to bench him as well, but I'm going to give him a C. But this is a tough matchup. Logan Ryan is legit, and this is just the game where Baker's targets are going to be funneled to the outside. So I'll give Landry the C, but I would love to give him a minus if I could, but I know I cannot.
You cannot.
Let's go to one more pass catcher, David Njoku, a guy you probably have to start, but he's in a bad spot. Tennessee was bottom 10 in catches and yards allowed to tight ends, and they only surrendered two touchdowns to the position last year. I'd go find the Darren Waller owner right now and offer David Njoku and try to make make a trade. I'll just put that out there.
I think everybody's on Darren Waller now.
I think you'd trade Njoku for him.
I don't think you could.
I think you could. Anyway, give it a try. Yeah. And then Nick Chubb finally gets an A. Tennessee was middle of the pack against the run when it comes to DVOA, but they only surrendered 7 total touchdowns to running backs. That's not good, but it's just too tempting to pick on that awful secondary of the Titans. Sorry, that doesn't make sense. Scratch that. Dontrell Hilliard, that bullet was in the wrong place. And I was just going to mention Dontrell Hilliard is on the bench, but he'll be involved, and he should be rostered in deeper leagues.
He should be. We're going to talk more about Dontrell Hilliard later in the show. All right, let's go to Indianapolis, taking on the Chargers. Matt, it's our first game with Jacoby Brissett. Do you dare start him right out of the gate?
I toyed with using him as my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback, as the Chargers are missing Derwin James, but they're not missing Joey Bosa or Melvin Ingram.
Right.
So Brissett's on the bench. In 2017, Brissett held the ball an average of 2.97 seconds before he threw it. That ranked the 5th most time in the league. That's not a good thing with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram breathing down your neck.
Although, in fairness, he's got maybe the best offensive line in football protecting him now.
I have very high hopes for him this season, just not this game.
I'm kind of with you on that.
T.Y. Hilton, I gave a C grade to. Paris Campbell, Devin Funchess on the bench. Hilton matches up with Casey Hayward, one of the better cover corners in the game. The Chargers allowed the 2nd fewest receptions and the 5th fewest yards to wide receivers last year. That's why Hilton only gets the C. Tight ends Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle both getting a C grade. Brissett targeted the tight end copiously in 2017 as Doyle averaged 6 receptions per game. Frank Reich runs 2 tight end sets 34% of the time, which was the 3rd most in the league. I think both of them can eat. Doyle is the possession guy, so target him more in PPR leagues. Ebron is the rare tight end vulture. I'd use him more in non-PPR or big DFS tournaments. There he is.
Eric Ebron chiming in from the 3-yard line right there.
That's him. And then Marlon Mack, I'm giving a B grade to. Mack has morphed into a bell cow running back, and it really happened over the final month of the season last year. In the last 5 games, Mack averaged 5 yards per carry and a touchdown per game on the ground. But also, his average passing routes run went from 13.5 early in the season to 23.3 in the final month. This means bye-bye Nyheim Hines. And the Chargers gave up the 4th most receptions to the running back position last year.
Yeah.
So Marlon Mack's kind of teetering on almost an A there, but he's still getting a B. Phillip Rivers on the other side, he gets a C grade. I'm nervous about the offensive line, who are still missing left tackle Russell Okung. All 5 starters now rank as a 61 or below out of 100 in PFF's ratings. That's a D- to a failing grade for every member of their offensive line that's starting this week. And a stat from Charch in games without Gordon last year, Rivers averaged 63 fewer yards and 1.3 fewer touchdowns.
Yeah, if it's bad for the offense, it's bad for the offense.
It sure is. Austin Eckler, let's talk about him. He's getting a B grade. I gave Justin Jackson the bench grade. In the 3 games without Gordon last year, Eckler out-touched Jackson nearly 2-1. In the preseason, Eckler out-snapped Jackson nearly 2-1. This seems like a 2-1 split in Eckler's favor, and it's a better split for the pass-catching running back, as the Colts surrendered the 2nd most receptions to opposing running backs last year.
All right.
If Gordon was playing, Eckler would still be startable in this game.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Keenan Allen, I'm giving him a B grade. Mike Williams is hitting your bench. Rivers' time in the pocket will be short, which means he's going to target Allen the most. Allen ran out of the slot 56% of the time last year and had the lowest average depth of target out of all receivers last year at only 9.4. Mike Williams was at 15.6. They're not going to have time to throw to him downfield. Finally, Hunter Henry, I'm giving an A grade to. For as good as the Colts were against wide receivers, they were the opposite against tight ends last year. The Colts allowed the most receptions and yards to the tight end last season.
All right.
He's totally back and healthy. He's going to be a huge part in this offense.
Oh, I got Hunter Henry all these leagues. I love it. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. You know, for all of us that rolled the dice on Hunter Henry, and I ranked
him
as my
baby
number 3 tight end in the preseason, I'd love to see him come back. I want to touch on a couple of quick hitters with you guys relating to the Packers. The Packers offense, they won the game, but the offense only put up 10 points. Aaron Jones in particular looked troubling, mostly because it was almost an even split on timeshare. Jamal Bleepin' Williams, not interested in that guy. What is your level of concern on Aaron Jones?
They were underdogs, right? Matt LaFleur's offense in Tennessee last year. Brian just told us about it. Yeah. He doesn't give the ball to his bell cow running back when he's an underdog.
How about that?
So watch out for that. If the Packers are not favored, Aaron Jones might be on your bench.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll be favored against the Vikings next week. There might be an opportunity to buy low on Aaron Jones at some point here.
Pretty soon.
And that process may have already started. Coming up next, let's answer three tough questions. You get to play along. Try to go a perfect 3-0 on Fantasy Football Weekly. Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, co-owner of Fanball.com. My cohorts are Brian Johnson and Matt Harrison. You can follow us on Twitter at Paul Charchian, at BTXJ, at Explosive Output. Boys, it's time to get into the grinder with three tough questions. Listeners, you can play along, see if you can go 3-0.
Tough question number one.
Redskins head coach Jay Gruden says that his offense will go through running back Darius Geis. For this season, will Geis be an RB1, an RB2, a flex, or a bench player? On the whole, every week will be a little bit different. On the whole, will he be an RB1, RB2, flex, or bench player? Brian.
All right. So technically he's not a rookie, but he is a rookie. And all rookie, quote-unquote, workhorse backs hit the wall, most do, jumping from 12 games in college to 16 games in the pro, in the pros.
Yeah, tell that to Saquon Barkley.
Now, I said most. Okay, not
Hall of Fame trajectory guys.
Adrian Petersons, or any of those guys of the past.
All right.
Now, speaking of games, real ones, Geis hasn't played one since college in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of college, he only saw more than 200 carries once, and he actually, in the two seasons prior, had less combined carries than the 200-plus season. So he is not proven to be durable whatsoever. Throw in the crap line. Adrian Peterson, still good enough to, you know, steal some work from him. And Chris Thompson, going to take all the receiving work. I'm going bench. Geis is going
straight
on the
bench.
I can't trust him. Mm-hmm. He's going to have a good game or two, hopefully early on. It's probably not going to be this week. I gave him a C, but once he does, you sell high, strike while the iron is hot.
Right.
That's my story. I'm sticking to
it. All right, Brian. Goes bench. Matt.
I'm going to be negative Matt today. He won't be on any of my teams this year, and that's due to everything Brian said. Left tackle Trent Williams out, Adrian Peterson, Case Keenum, or Dwayne Haskins under center.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe coach speak at this time of year either. So whatever Jay Gruden says, I don't believe it. He's on my bench. I don't think he's better than that.
All right. There's also you hit most of the negatives on Darius Geis, but not all of them. Let me give you two more.
Oh, okay.
The negative game scripts that are going to affect him virtually every week.
Yes.
This is a bad Washington defense and an offense that's going to score no points. And he averaged less than one reception per game in college. Brian alluded to the fact that Chris Thompson will be the pass catching back. I believe that is true. And Darius Geis doesn't have just stone hands, but he's not Chris Thompson, who's really gifted that way. You roll all that together, and the only thing really working for Geis is that he's the starter. But he's the starter on probably the NFL's worst or second worst offense, and more often than not, that puts you on the bench.
Dumb question number two.
Chiefs head coach Andy Reid says that it's a timeshare with LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams. For this season, will LeSean McCoy be an RB1, an RB2, a flex, or a bench player? Matt.
Didn't I just mention that I don't believe anything coaches say at this time of year?
I believe you did.
Yeah. Andy Reid has never gone running back by committee. He's not going to go running back by committee. And people seem to forget how bad LeSean McCoy was last year as the sole lead dog running back on a team that wanted to run the ball and had a rushing quarterback with him. It's not like the upgrade to the better offense doesn't come with a cost. He's splitting time with Damian Williams at very best 50-50. And Darwin Thompson is still involved. They like Williams, too. They signed him to a deal at the end of last season. McCoy's on your bench.
All right. Brian.
I'm going to have to disagree. I don't care what he did with Buffalo last year or the year before that. He actually had good years with Buffalo. Buffalo blows.
Are you talking about the city, the team,
just the
fans,
team.
Wings?
I have been to the city. I don't remember it well. The beer is strong there, that's
all
for
right,
sure.
There's that. Yeah, well, but, if Bill's Mafia's any indication, yeah, yes, it is.
Yeah. I missed my 20s. But anyway, where was I? Oh, Shady, I remember I had to watch Bills-Lions a couple weeks ago on Friday night preseason. I'm so depressed about having to do this, right?
Yeah.
But Shady made it fun.
Really?
Shady made it. He looked good.
Oh, did he?
He looked good. Okay. And everyone remembers Devin Singletary stole the touchdown from distance in that game, and he got all the pub the following day, whatever. But whatever. Andy Reid was watching that game, too, and he liked what he saw, and he loves LeSean McCoy like a son, essentially.
Noted preseason game watcher Andy Reid.
Oh, he's been scouting McCoy for years, just waiting for this. And he went out and got him. It's going to take some time, but he's going to get more carries than Damian Williams probably a quarter of the way through the season, and then finish as an RB2 overall for the KC Chiefs.
The last time McCoy played with Andy Reid was 2012, seven years ago. That year, he had a two rushing touchdown season. Two.
Yikes.
That's it for LeSean McCoy that year. And then he got shipped off to Buffalo, purgatory. Last year, LeSean McCoy ranked 55th at running back by Pro Football Focus last season, fifth from the bottom. His yards per carry have plummeted over the last 2 years, down to 3.2 last year. He's not elusive. He's got anymore. He's got middling speed at this stage of his career, and he doesn't bring any power anymore. In fact, from the power standpoint, get this. On his last 13 carries from inside the five-yard line, he has scored twice. The power's not there. He's not effective at the stripe anymore. You roll all that together, and while I do believe that there will be opportunities for him to do something in an offense that's going to score 40 points, and you know most weeks you'll be in the 30s and 40s, that's enough to give him some opportunity. He's just not that good anymore, and at best, he is going to be a flex player.
Would you rather have LeSean McCoy or Darius Geis?
McCoy, because of the offense. I would. I would rather have McCoy. And that's why he's a flex, and Darius Geis was a bench.
You don't think he's going to be rejuvenated at all now that he's healthy and on a good team?
He's 31. He's 31. How do you rejuvenate yourself?
31. I know that's getting there, but...
Go to one of those European think tanks and...
Crypto chamber, yeah. Or cryo chamber. That's what he needs.
Yep.
Yeah, just like Antonio Brown.
Speaking of,
given the chaos surrounding Antonio Brown, over the course of the season, will Tyrell Williams be a wide receiver one, wide receiver two, flex, or bench? Brian.
Yeah, I think there's about a 50% chance that Antonio Brown just totally goes off the reservation, right? And then it's all said and done. So I'm going to... This is a tough one. We should be talking about Darren Waller instead. But anyway.
You've talked enough about Darren Waller on this
show. I love
show.
Darren
If you
Waller.
Could ever steer a conversation toward Darren Waller.
Yes.
But Tyrell flashed for the Chargers in the past, but he always played second and third fiddle to Keenan Allen and Antonio Gates or Hunter Henry, whoever the tight end was. He did play a major role in 2016 when Keenan Allen was hurt for most of the year. Saw 119 targets and turned them into 69 nice catches for 1,000-plus yards and 7 scores. And... with the Brown situation and the fact that Williams is the number two wide receiver, I think 100-plus targets are a mortal lock, and he can put similar numbers to the numbers he put up in 2016, albeit he's on the Raiders now and not the Chargers. Yeah. I think he will be a solid flex play this season.
Okay.
Told you it was negative Matt today. Yeah. Emphatic benching.
Wow. All right.
I don't care that he could be the wide receiver one on an offense with a bad QB and somehow Nathan Peterman looming with a terrible offensive line, a coach who wants to take the game back to the 90s. It's just a bad offense overall. And guess who the wide receiver one on that offense was last year? Jordy Nelson. How'd that work out? He finished 49th. In fantasy points for wide receivers.
How old is Jordy if we're going age here?
Oh my gosh, this is going to be a disaster in Oakland all year. You don't want anything to do with Tyrell Williams. I'll go Darren Waller, but not Tyrell Williams.
Duh.
Good Lord. You know, you too, you're Darren Waller. I get the feeling that, especially you, Brian, you could be in You could be in court, and you could, they could swear you in, and you would steer the conversation from the prosecution, because you'd be a defendant, towards Darren Waller.
Well, I used him as my sleeper in like the second week, and you kind of rolled your eyes at me at the time, and now look where we're at. Darren Waller's all the, I don't, the bees knees.
So help you, Waller.
You cannot prove any eye rolling.
I can't hear it.
The biggest advantage I think you get with Tyrell Williams is his own team's ineptitude. The Raiders are going to be playing behind in almost every game, and the just volume alone is going to be a friend to him. You know, I think, Brian, you mentioned 100 targets potentially going his way. That sounds about right. Also working his favor. Antonio Brown's contract is guaranteed on Monday. That means, because he'll be on roster on Monday, and all vested veterans, if you're on roster on Monday, you are guaranteed your contract. That means the wheels can come off beginning Tuesday for Antonio Brown. That's all it's got to take. It could happen. That's another fact that works in his favor. Brown can do whatever he wants after Monday. Williams has a history of being a downfield threat. He's got height and speed to get under passes. Granted, Derek Carr is also a very bad downfield passer, so mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many of those are going to connect, but there are going to be times when you're going to want the garbage, and Tyrell Williams is going to deliver. We'll help you find those times as a flex start.
There might be garbage time this year.
Garbage time. There's going to be garbage time. Let's work in another matchup. Baltimore taking on the Miami Dolphins. The Baltimore side of this is pretty interesting. The Miami side, not so much. Where do you want to start with Baltimore?
Lamar Jackson, of course.
Heck yeah, baby.
Gets
my number,
an A.
My number two ranked quarterback for this week.
You know what? He doesn't get an A. He gets an A.
He's the fantasy Fonzie
of the week.
All right.
Absolutely. Because Miami allowed the third most quarterback rushing yards last year, including 230 to Josh Allen alone.
Yes.
Who also totaled 5 passing touchdowns in those two games.
Jeez.
So Lamar Jackson, A. And just a quick heads up, L-Jax squares off with Kyler Murray next week.
That will be good.
To the running game, or to continue with the running game, I should say. Mark Ingram, too, gets an A as well. Miami gave up the second most rushing attempts, third most rushing yards, and fourth most rushing touchdowns per game to opposing running backs last season. And I have to thank fanball writer Parker Leach for this stat. So Ingram averaged 12 carries per game with the Saints last year.
Yeah.
That's perfect, because running backs who received at least 12 carries against Miami averaged 81 rushing yards on 5 yards per carry and more than half a touchdown per game. Ingram in A. Justice Hill, I'm tempted.
Go for it. I will.
See.
Although Gus Edwards, Gus freaking Edwards.
No, I got bench on paper, and I'm sticking to it. So Hill on the bench, keep your eye on him, though. Add him in your league if he's available.
Yeah.
Just know that. But Jim Harbaugh said he'd ride the hot hand, and Hill's hands look pretty hot, and lots of other stuff, too. But he's on the bench this week, as are all the wide receivers. Miles Boykin is the one you'd be interested in, but that also means he probably draws Xavien Howard, who's the one player in Miami that actually excels at what he does. So, Boykin on the bench. Mark Andrews, this guy is going to be a pain in everyone's A this year. The guy can play. His average of 11 yards per target trails only O.J. Howard among all players with at least 50 targets over the past two seasons.
Wow. That's all impressive. Tight ends. Yeah, nice.
All players.
Players? No, really?
I'm pretty sure I read that correctly.
Wow. All right. I got to believe receivers.
It's tight ends. I'm wrong.
It's got to be.
But sadly, Andrews never saw more than 50% of the snaps in a single game last year. And if that carries over this year, it's trouble, but it's a great matchup. Miami allowed 9 tight end touchdowns last year, second most, so I'm giving him a C. Over to Miami, Kenyon Drake gets a C. He will, quote-unquote, get a lot of touches, but a lot of touches in Miami could be like 9 on their scale of a lot of touches.
You mean 9 times?
9 times you might touch the ball. This is a tough defense.
9 times.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's good to have that back.
Yeah.
Baltimore allowed 3.5 yards per carry and a league low 3.9 yards per target to running back, so they can't get it done on the ground or through the air. Just a C for Drake. No Kalen Ballage talk today.
No, I'll give you a talker. Drop him or trade him. Trade him now. Trade him now while he's got some level of perceived value.
Oh, yeah.
Kalen Ballage is bad. And he's on what is probably going to be one of the two worst offenses in the NFL.
True.
What's not bad is Baltimore's secondary, especially since they went out and got Earl Thomas to play safety. So Albert Wilson, Devontae Parker, Preston Williams on the bench. I like Wilson and Preston Williams, your guy, Church, though, season long.
Long term.
Not this week, though. Not this week.
Preston Williams is going to be fascinating in 2020.
Yep.
next season.
Definitely a must add in Dynasty if he's available in your league. And then lastly, Stu Beard, Ryan,
yeah.
It's Patrick.
It's got to be bench.
Got to be bench. But watch him go off for 400. I got,
right.
Just watch.
At this time last year, yeah. Heading into week one, we were telling you to bench Ryan Fitzpatrick. And then he went into New Orleans and threw four touchdowns. So
and like 400 yards.
Too. Yeah, right. Now, he had way, way better receivers then and a better overall team to work with. But, yeah. Every week you can play the Crush Charge Championship for free at fanball.com. When you assemble a better salary cap team than mine, you get a shot at this week's prize pool. And more importantly, beating me is the only way you get an entry to our Week 17 Championship where you'll battle me for the $10,000 grand prize. Go to fanball.com/charge. And as a super sneaky tip for our listeners, you can enter 10 times.
That's one more than nine.
10 times. We're back in moments with more of the matchups you need to set your lineups, including the Giants taking on the Cowboys. What to do with some of those fringe guys in that matchup. We'll tell you if you dare start guys like Sterling Shepard when we come back. Regular season edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. We're breaking down each of Sunday and Monday's NFL games, fantasy style. We put letter grades on all the players, explain who we like, who we don't like, and most importantly, why we do or don't like them. And then you can decide. You think are we right? Are we wrong? You get to make your own decisions. You can get all of this week's player rankings also available for free at fanball.com/charch, charch. You can get all my player rankings right there. My co-hosts, Brian Johnson, Matt Harrison. Let's go to the Giants taking on the Dallas Cowboys. And I'll start on the Giants side. Obviously, Saquon Barkley gets an obvious A grade. I'm not even going to spend extra time on that, but do know that he's had a lot of success in his short career against the Giants anyway. Against the Cowboys anyway. Let's go to the passing game. Eli Manning gets a C grade here. He actually posted two decent games against the Cowboys last year, which shocked me. I was fully prepared to just tell everybody to bench Eli. 280 yards and 300 yards in the two matchups last year. In those games, he threw the ball 44 and 41 times. And if he's going to play from behind again, which I think is going to be the case here, he's going to just through sheer volume, he could be fantasy relevant.
He might have had a receiver named Odell Beckham last year, though.
Well, that does help, yes. And he doesn't have that. But who does he have?
Evan Ingram. And he was healthy in those games, and you're probably going to say the numbers right now.
And he scored in both of those games. That's right. I expect Eli to force feed Evan Ingram a lot in this game. He also topped four receptions and 40 yards in each of the four career games he's had against the Cowboys, so they have schemed him into those games. Evan Ingram gets a B grade in this one. And then there's the odd case of Sterling Shepard, the starting receiver nobody wants. He's not even on the injury report. You know, he went down in the preseason, and everybody's like, well, that's it for Sterling Shepard. He's still the go-to receiver on this team. Now, granted, he's been shut down in five straight games against the Cowboys, but he's never been the go-to receiver either. That's always been Odell Beckham. He'll mostly be playing from the outside. He used to be more of a slot guy. They're going to move him a lot outside here, and actually, that's also bad news, because then he goes up against Dallas's two solid outside cornerbacks, Byron Jones and Chidobe Awuzie. He needs volume to cobble together a decent game, but Sterling Shepard could get there, and I'm giving him a C grade for this game. Let's flip it over to the Dallas side. Can you start Zeke? Heck yeah, you can.
Really?
Even if he's only going to get half of the work. And Tony Pollard earned, by the way, through great preseason play. I think Tony Pollard earned half of the work in this game, and I think he gets half.
You don't believe the 20 to 25 rep
snaps
report?
Yeah. Even if it's 20 to 25 reps, they could all be snaps, or they could all be touches. I mean, for all we know, right? Or half of them could be touches. Give me 12 to 15 touches for Zeke, and I will give you an A grade. And here's why: the Giants' defense. Oh my! They allowed an opposing runner to either score or post 100 or more yards rushing and receiving in 15 of their 16 games last year. And they lost Landon Collins and Olivier Vernon. This could be the NFL's worst defense, the Giants. I think Zeke doesn't need more than about 10, 12, 15 touches to end up with a very meaningful game. And if there are any goal line carries to be had, they ain't going to Tony Pollard.
So you're predicting for Zeke 12 carries, about 450 yards, and 8 touchdowns?
Yeah, that's exactly okay. It. Yes, that is precisely it. So let's go to Tony Pollard then. I've still got a starting grade on Pollard. I think Pollard could easily end up getting the same kind of 12, 15, 18 sort of touches in this game. And honestly, as I mentioned earlier, look good in the preseason, and the Giants' defense is so bad that he could score from distance here. So C grade on Tony Pollard. Let's go to the passing game. I love Dak Prescott in this matchup. Love it. He obliterated the Giants' secondary in the regular season finale last year. 387 passing yards, 4 touchdowns for Dak Prescott last time these teams met, and that was in the regular season finale, so it's even recently at that.
He's playing motivated, too, this year.
Yeah, he's playing for money.
He wants, yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You can't argue with that.
No and better motivator.
Absolutely. You know, with Zeke's status up in the air, I think, you know, they had game planned with Zeke maybe being there, maybe not. I think they had a pass-heavy game plan in mind, and they might even just keep to that. So I still like Dak a lot. A grade for Dak. Amari Cooper also gets an A. You know, if you're going to try to have to stop Zeke at the line of scrimmage, that'll free up Amari Cooper for some downfield shots. And he runs the majority of routes on the right side of the field, where he has a glorious matchup against rookie cornerback DeAndre Baker making his first ever start. So Amari Cooper should have a very good game here. And I like Michael Gallup, who gets a B grade. He looked terrific in the preseason. Looks like he's ready to make that sophomore leap that a lot of elite receivers make. He'll work against Janoris Jenkins. And everybody knows the name Janoris Jenkins. They think he's good. He's not good. He gave up 7 touchdowns in his coverage last year and a passer rating of 109. Gallup's downfield prowess really only needs the one deep connection. And I think it's coming. Let's go to our next matchup. Matt,
yep.
Cincinnati taking on Seattle. You already made a case earlier in this show against all odds to start Andy Dalton.
And you liked it, didn't you?
No.
I'm going to give Tyler Boyd an A grade, actually. Mans the slot in former Rams coach Zach Taylor's new offense. That's the same role that Cooper Kupp had.
Mm-hmm.
Kupp went for 6 for 90 and 1 in the first matchup against the Seahawks defense last year. Had 5 catches in the second matchup and tore his ACL in the middle of that game.
Oops.
So it was looking good. Zach Taylor knows how to scheme the slot. And with A.J. Green out, Tyler Boyd looks to be in a good spot here,
yeah.
Especially if they're in catch-up mode. Joe Mixon's the only other Bengal that you need to really mention. He gets a C grade. Only 3 running backs topped 100 yards and scored against the Seahawks last year. That was Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, and Christian McCaffrey.
They're good.
They're good. So is Joe Mixon. But Seattle only gave up 8 rushing touchdowns to backs last year.
Yeah.
Game script probably favors the Bengals needing to pass in this one, and Geo should be in the mix for some targets as well. On the Seahawks side, A grade for Russell Wilson. The Bengals allowed the 3rd most passing yards and the 5th most passing touchdowns last year. Interestingly enough, they yielded the 2nd most rushing attempts to the quarterback position, too.
Hmm.
Tyler Lockett's getting an A grade. Lockett scored on 1 of every 5.7 targets last year.
Which is insane.
It's completely unsustainable.
It
but
is.
He's basically the only healthy starting wide receiver. DK Metcalf and David Moore both might go, but are both dinged up.
Mm-hmm.
Lockett looks to run most of his routes out of the slot this year. Last year, he caught 26 of 29 targets from the slot, had 5 touchdowns from the slot last year.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about Chris Carson. He gets an A grade as well. Carson ended the season as the 2nd best fantasy runner from week 13 on. He led the NFL in rushing attempts over the final 5 weeks. And the Seahawks beat reporters keep talking about how Pete Carroll thinks he's the best pass catcher on the team.
How about that?
He barely caught any passes last year. But funny enough, Rashad Penny only caught 5 passes all
right.
of last year.
Yep.
The Bengals have allowed the 4th most receiving yards per game to opposing runners. Chris
beautiful.
Carson's in for a really good game here. I like him on Fanball a lot, too.
He's my number 3 ranked running back this week, Chris Carson.
We're going to talk about one more receiver. His name's Will Disley in a later segment.
Okay. We'll come back to that in a moment. Detroit takes on Arizona. Brian, we've already talked about a variety of Detroit players over the course of this show, but Kerryon Johnson is my top ranked running back this week.
I'll give him an A then.
Thank
you. I'm gonna give him a B. Just
why would you do that?
Well, you already mentioned we're a little worried about CJ Anderson stealing some carries.
No, there's plenty to go around here.
Yeah, I'm giving Kerryon the A. Arizona allowed 20 rushing touchdowns to running backs last season.
Yes,
by far
stop,
the most.
You stop
in
right
the
there.
NFL. I know. I did. I said A. Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on. Only 2 other teams allowed more than 15. By the way, and thanks to you, Charge. We all know Detroit wants to run the ball 30-plus times a game like Daryl Bevel has been doing throughout his career. Everything checks out on paper there. Little concerned C.J. Anderson takes some work. Ty Johnson will mix in on third down, but Kerryon gets an A. Moving on.
All right.
Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones. I'm giving him a B. I love them both, but I just know who's going to go off. But they're both very startable in this game. Both starting corners are out.
Right.
Pat Pete and Robert Alford.
Mm.
Galladay and Jones are just way bigger than these guys.
Is available in probably 2/3 of leagues, and he's absolutely startable this week.
Oh, definitely. And Danny Amendola, maybe he's a viable dart throw in PPR or a punt play in a daily on fanball.com if you choose to go for a minimum price wide receiver, could factor in. But I got him on the bench for the sake of redraft leagues, as I do TJ Hockenson, not even going to start. Jesse James is listed as the starter, so Hockenson owners are going to have to be patient. He's on the bench this week, but Matt Stafford might take a chance on me quarterback because that Arizona secondary is just, it's not what it should be.
No,
To the Arizona side, David Johnson, I'm going to give him a B, but that might be generous. It's a borderline C. So these teams have played, this will be the third straight year they've seen each other, and that's much to the chagrin of David Johnson, because in 2017, he broke his hand and missed the whole year. He broke it in the opener. Last year, he had 15 carries for 49 yards and 8 catches for 12 yards.
Yeah, unbelievable.
How do you get 8 catches for 12 yards?
That's so tough hard to do. It really is.
Well, he and Saquon Barkley could discuss that. But anyway, it's all about Snacks Harrison. Detroit acquired him last year, they were allowing 6 yards per carry. After, they allowed less than 4. So it's a tough matchup for DJ, but you got to start him.
By the way, the Snacks Harrison trade.
For all the things
that Dave Gettleman has done wrong, and there's plenty, giving up the best run-stuffing defensive lineman for a fifth-round pick is the dumbest move of his career. God, would they love to have him back.
That's saying something.
That is saying a lot.
He's made some...
it's saying a lot.
Brian, just his mood went from up here to like down to the floor.
It hurts. Brian, I'm sorry I interrupted. Continue.
All good. Larry Fitzgerald, going to give him a B. I want fresh legs, Fitzy, in my lineup this week. He only just slot corner for Detroit, Justin Coleman, concedes just 4 inches and 40 pounds on Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And Darius Slay, he has the same size advantage, probably won't travel to the slot anyway. So Fitzgerald gets a B, probably an A grade almost, but I'll stick with the B. Christian Kirk, though, he's on the bench. He will see Darius Slay. And his usage in the preseason has been kind of peculiar. He hasn't seen a lot of snaps alongside Kyler Murray, so you got to wait and see what you have with Kirk. I would not start him this week. And then speaking of Kyler Murray, he just gets a C this week. And the Lions, they did allow multiple touchdown passes to 10 of 16 quarterbacks last year.
Mm-hmm.
But only DeShone Kizer was able to crack 20 rushing yards, and that was in Week 17. So you're probably thinking they didn't face any mobile quarterbacks, though, right? Wrong. Mitch Trubisky, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott.
Those are all mobile quarterbacks.
And they all were held under 20 rushing yards against the Lions.
How about that?
People were freaking out preseason about that one Kyler Murray game. If he does that, it's possible. I'm worried.
Yeah, this might be the time that you just wait, you kick back and wait on Kyler Murray.
And then he gets Baltimore next week?
Yeah, then Baltimore. And then you trade for him because somebody's going to be very frustrated with Kyler Murray, potentially. All right, let's go to San Francisco and Tampa Bay in our final matchup of this particular segment. George Kittle is an obvious A, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on him, but let's go to the rest of the passing game led by Jimmy Garoppolo. It's his first regular season game since his ACL tear. You mix that together with a wildly inconsistent preseason, mix that together with all the turmoil at the wide receiver position for the Niners in the preseason, and
a cocktail.
I don't know that you can start Garoppolo here. I've got a C grade on him only because the matchup with Tampa is pretty compelling, and George Kittle alone makes Garoppolo, I think, startable, but that's only at a C level. Dante Pettis is now no longer on the injury report, so that's good news there. In each of his last 6 games of last year, Pettis saw no less than 5 targets, and he scored 4 times in those 6 games, and that includes the Week 12 matchup with this very opponent, the Bucs, in which he put up 77 yards and a touchdown. Now, inexplicably, Tampa is trotting out last year's triumvirate of cornerbacking incompetence, including Carlton Davis, who Pettis burned for his score last year. If I felt better about Garoppolo, Dante Pettis would be an A grade, but instead I've got a C grade on him just because it's Garoppolo's first game back. Then, to the running game. Yes.
Do you find it peculiar this game starts at 3:15 Central, by the way, or 4:15 Eastern?
A little bit, yeah. Although, maybe it's just for the San Francisco fan base who will just be rolling.
What about the Rams?
The Rams went to Carolina or playing at noon.
I don't have an answer for that. Running game. Tevin Coleman has got a nice opportunity here, and so does Matt Breida. I've got B grades on both guys because Tampa allowed the most running back touchdowns last year, and they're without elite run-stuffing defensive lineman Gerald McCoy, who they let walk. Tampa also allowed a touchdown and or 100 rushing yards to a back in all seven of their last games to end last year. Tevin Coleman also has had a lot of personal success while with the Falcons against the Bucs, scoring four times in his last three games against them. So I like Coleman. But here's the catch. Breida's there too. And when healthy, he's just playing better than Coleman at his position. And I'm giving him a B grade because I think for all the same reasons I like Coleman, I'm going to like Breida, and I think Breida's a better back. So take that.
I'll take it.
Next, let's go to the Tampa side, now led by Bruce Arians. I would feel better about all of them if the offensive line wasn't brutal for the Bucs, and it looked terrible in the preseason. I'm nervous about that part of it. Still, Mike Evans does get an A grade here, and an obvious A grade that does not need a lot of explanation. But let's note this: he is battling illness and is listed as questionable. As we look at the rest of the passing game, let's go to Jameis Winston. I love the upgraded head coach to Bruce Arians, but the Niners are a dramatically improved defensive line in the offseason, particularly their acquisition of Dee Ford. They put a first-round pick into Nick Bosa, who I think is going to play in this game, at least situationally, assuming his ankle is all right. Winston has a positive matchups all over the field, including Mike Evans, who I mentioned earlier, but also Chris Godwin, who gets a B grade. DeSean Jackson and Adam Humphreys left 174 vacant targets available for Godwin to soak up, and he'll run from the slot where he draws Quan Williams, who improved dramatically over the course of last year, but Godwin has a sizable size advantage of 4 inches and 25 pounds on Williams and might be able to use that to get to some space. B grade and Godwin, and OJ Howard also with a B grade. All those vacant targets I mentioned earlier also help OJ Howard here. He was terrific before injury ended his season in week 11 last year and should pick up right where he left off. Bruce Arians doesn't have the history with the tight end at all, but I don't think it matters. I mean, O.J. Howard's really good, and Bruce Arians never really had great tight ends.
Well, if you look back to Heath Miller in Pittsburgh, Heath Miller had a fantasy viable career.
So say Evans is actually too sick to play. I think you got to go add Brashad Perryman, and you start him with confidence.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever start him with confidence.
He's a viable player.
Let me just mention this as well. Peyton Barber, a potentially nice matchup. He scored in four of the last six games last year, and the Niners allowed a rushing score in each of the last six games last year. But the Tampa offensive line, guys, I'm just not convinced they can do enough to help Barber here, and I've just got a C grade on him. Our final topics are ahead when we provide you with three guys we believe will be the hot waiver wire pickups next week. These are the guys you want to pick up this week. Whether you're ready for it or not, premature speculation is coming your way. It's Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Premature speculation might be the most popular segment on the entire show, where we identify three players we think that are available in the waiver wire you should pick up now before everybody else wants him next week. I begin with Brian Johnson. Who is your pre-spec guy this week?
Tampa Bay running back Dare Ogunbowale. One of the fantasy gems that has emerged from the preseason, Ogunbowale will open the season as Tampa Bay's third down back. And as we all know, Tampa Bay is going to be playing from behind often.
A lot, yes.
A lot. Favorable game scripts are in the future, and it's very feasible. It eats into the carries of the very average Peyton Barber and the vastly inferior Ronald Jones.
That is true.
Ogunbowale.
All right, Matt, who is your guy?
Will Dissly of the Seattle Seahawks. No one's healthy in Seattle. just Tyler Lockett and Will Dissly.
Yeah.
After targeting Lockett 25 times, Wilson will have to go to Dissly at some point. Dissly took the league by storm last season with 3-for-105-1 in week one, scored again in week two, then missed the rest of the season with a knee injury. He's back. He's healthy. It's Will Dissly.
My premature speculation back is also a third down back, like Brian mentioned, Dontrell Hilliard. Everybody wants a part of the Browns offense. Here's your chance to get this year's version of Gus Johnson.
Edwards.
Not Gus Edwards. Duke Johnson. Okay. Thank you very much. Last year's Duke Johnson role in Cleveland is now Dontrell Hilliard. And if anything were to happen to Nick Chubb, Dontrell Hilliard, my premature speculation player. Let's get back to our matchups, beginning with Pittsburgh taking on the New England Patriots.
James Conner gets an A grade. He's looked like the full-time bell cow back in Pittsburgh all camp, taking almost every snap with the first teamers, and the Patriots' Achilles heel is pass-catching running backs. They were bottom 10 in receiving yards allowed and receptions to opposing running backs. Conner had 5 or more receptions in 6 of 13 games last year. Big Ben's getting an A. He's thrown for 300-plus and multiple scores in 8 straight games against New England. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome stat from Evan Silva, too. No 28 team played more man defense than Bill Belichick's Patriots. Sports Info Solution credited Ben with 35-10 touchdown to interception ratio against man versus 13-15 against zone.
Oh,
so he likes the man defense.
Okay.
So the Pats play a lot of man. That means Pro Football Focus's top-rated corner from 2018, Stephon Gilmore, is probably playing Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I think so.
I only gave him a C.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
If they held him to 4 catches for 40 yards last year on 10 targets. Juju saw double-digit targets in 6 of the last 7 games in 2018. Even if Gilmore doesn't follow him, he gets J.C. Jackson or Jason McCourty. Those guys are both really good, too. And that's why I have Dante Moncrief and James Washington on the bench. Vance McDonald, I'm giving a B grade to, though. McDonald finished as a top 12 tight end while splitting snaps with Jesse James last year, finished 3rd in yards after the catch among tight ends, and if Juju's locked down, Vance is the next best target on the team. He did score in the meeting last year as well. On the Patriots side, Tom Brady getting a C grade. Brady has been held under 300 yards into only one passing score in each of the last 2 matchups with Pittsburgh. And center David Andrews is going to be out. The Pittsburgh defense is a bit reborn, too. It's not going to be an easy matchup here.
Agreed.
Julian Edelman, I got a B grade on. Edelman averaged 9 targets, 6 catches, and 71 yards in games where Josh Gordon also played last year. And he's had at least 7 catches in each of his last 4 meetings with Pittsburgh and topped 90 yards in 3 of those 4. Josh Gordon, I'm only given a C, though. He's more of a dart throw. We don't quite know how he's going to be. Came into camp a little bit late, didn't see many snaps with the preseason team. Sony Michel and James White, they're the running backs on that team. They're both getting
a bunch of running backs on that team.
Those are the only two that matter.
Damian Harris.
Yeah. They're both getting C grades. It's possible that both of these guys return numbers in a given week, but this matchup sucks. White led the team in targets last year. He was bottled up in the game against them. He had 7 targets, but only 5 catches for 25 yards. The Steelers allowed the 2nd fewest receptions to opposing backs last year,
yeah,
and an average of only 32 yards per game through the air to opposing backs. Sony Michel ran the ball for 59 scoreless yards in the prior matchup last year, and the Steelers held opposing runners to the 7th fewest rushing yards last year. They're a good defense. It's going to be tough for them to run.
And they added Devin Bush in the middle, right? So that's going to make it all that much more difficult, I believe. Brian, Houston taking on New Orleans. This feels like a lot of potential fantasy starters here.
Yeah, we'll start with the running game for Houston. Duke Johnson gets a C. New Orleans gave up the 2nd fewest rushing attempts and the fewest rushing yards last season, only 3.2 yards per carry. That's pretty brutal, but the defensive tackle Sheldon Rankins is doubtful to play. That's a plus for Duke. And the Saints did allow the 2nd most receiving touchdowns to running backs, so he gets a C.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Hopkins gets an A. Duh. But he is shadowed by Marshawn. He will be shadowed by Marshawn Lattimore,
yeah,
who suffocated in coverage as a rookie, struggled at times last year.
He did.
Either way, this will be a tough matchup for him. The premier wide receiver cornerback matchup of the week, a good one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I got all the other receivers on the bench: Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, Kiki Cutie. Fuller's coming off the ACL. You really just want to see what you got there with those guys. The floor is way too low with all 3, so
yeah,
they're on the
sure.
bench. Deshaun Watson, I'll give him a B. I'm really nervous about this front 7 and that offensive line. Despite the trade for Laremy Tunsil, he's pretty new to the team, and Watson's going to be running for his life. But he has his legs. He has Hopkins. You're going to start him. I'll give him a B. borderline C, though. Over to the New Orleans side, Alvin Kamara, just a B here. Very tough matchup. Houston did not allow more than 82 rushing yards to any running back last season. They also surrendered the second, in addition, only two opposing running backs cracked 40 receiving yards against the Texans.
That's it all year?
All year, last season. So not a great spot for Kamara, but you're definitely going to bench him. And for those reasons, I have Latavius Murray on the bench. He'll be startable.
I'm with you.
In most weeks, he'll be flex. He'll have some flex appeal, but this ain't it. Not this week.
No.
Michael Thomas, though. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give him the fantasy Fonzie, too. Hey. He'll see a mixture of Bradley Roby and Jonathan Joseph in coverage. Roby underachieved as a starter with the Broncos last year, allowing a 116 quarterback rating in his coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Joseph is just old. This is the 13th year in the league. Thomas is going to go off big time. He has to be your number one wide receiver, I would imagine, this week, right?
You know, he is. I think, yes, he is number,
he is number one. Yeah.
Yep.
And Jared Cook, he gets an A as well. Last year, the Texans allowed the second most tight end yards and the third most tight end touchdowns. Drew Brees has not had a good tight end since Jimmy Graham. Yeah. Sorry, Kobe Fleener.
Remember when everybody was so hot for Kobe Fleener?
The Fleener Mobile.
Oh, man.
And Drew Brees, between Jared Cook and Michael Thomas, and of course, mm-hmm. Alvin Kamara, he gets an A grade. This is a great spot for him.
All right. I get the spectacle. Denver, Oakland, Antonio Brown.
This is the game everyone wants to watch now.
Well, now, yeah.
They
want to see the implosion. You might stay up for it on Monday night as the second of the two games. We begin with the passing game. Joe Flacco with a B grade, which says a lot, but here's your Raiders in organizational disarray. Their secondary's in flux. They get zero pressure on quarterbacks, and they allowed the most passing touchdowns last year. Joe Flacco, B grade. Emmanuel Sanders goes along with that for a B grade. He'll work out of the slot where he'll face LaMarcus Joyner, former free safety with very little game experience at cornerback. I like him. I like Cortland Sutton. Most often, he'll face returning cornerback Daryl Worley, who surrendered 5 scores a season ago. That was the 4th most of any cornerback. And Sutton's got a huge size advantage over Worley with a delta of 4 inches and 20 pounds over Worley. I think Sutton can use that to his advantage. So we'll start those two. Let's go to the running game. You guys know how I feel about Philip Lindsay. I love him. And he faces a Denver run defense that gave up 119 rushing yards per game last year, second most, including 107 to Philip Lindsay last year and almost 8 yards per carry. Look, I know everybody's all hot for Royce Freeman and they really want Royce Freeman to go win this thing and go dethrone Philip Lindsay. Not me. Not even remotely interested. I think it's going to be Lindsay.
Are they more like lukewarm for Freeman? He can't be hot.
There are people that are very hot for Freeman. I'm giving Freeman a C grade in this one, too. Lindsay, by the way, a B grade, if I didn't say it outright. I'm giving Freeman a C grade just because there should be plenty of touches to go around against an Oakland team that gave up the second most rushing yards, third most rushing attempts per game. So I think, and by the way, almost 5 yards per carry. So I think Freeman could still get something done here, even if Lindsay does get most of the work, which he should. Get most of the work. Let's go to the Oakland side. I'm going to save the worst for last. Start with the running game. Josh Jacobs. The Broncos gave up the 4th most rushing attempts and the 6th most rushing yards per game to opposing running backs. And last year, these same Broncos allowed 3 different Raiders backs to score. Marshawn Lynch, Jalen Richard, and Doug Martin. And Martin went over 100 yards. So I think you can start Josh Jacobs with a certain amount of confidence here. Don't like the offensive line. Don't like the rest of the offense and all the other things, all the other chaos. But man, running the ball would solve a lot of problems for these Raiders, and they're going to try.
I think the Raiders do not score a touchdown in this game.
It's not even a bold prediction.
Darren Waller's not going to play.
Yeah, what about Darren Waller?
Darren Waller will probably catch 17
Jacobs.
Balls.
All right, so let's just go right to Darren Waller. So crazy athlete, enormous size, 4.5 speed. He walks into the cleats of Jared Cook, who posted a career year in Oakland last season. The Broncos gave up the 7th most yards to tight ends last year, but here comes Vic Fangio. I think he's going to shore that up, and they won't be as leaky to tight ends, but I still have a B grade to Darren Waller, and I think he's as likely as anybody to lead the team in targets and receptions. How does that feel, Brian? You loving that?
I'm loving that.
All right, good. Now let's go to the wide receivers. Antonio Brown expected to play, although there's far too many hours between now and Monday, honestly, to know for sure if he's going to make it to Monday as a starter. But as of this moment, we think he's going to play.
Or as a human.
I don't expect Brown to have anywhere close to full snap count, though, because he missed so much time in the preseason. And a brand new team has no real chemistry and timing with the rest of this offense. I think it's limited snaps for Antonio Brown. And when he's on the field, I think he gets shadowed by outstanding cornerback Chris Harris. So I pull all that together, and I've got barely a C grade on Antonio Brown, only out of respect for his past accomplishments.
This
could just put him on the bench. Tyrell Williams is the only guy I want to mention. With Antonio Brown likely to only have those, I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 plays or less for Antonio Brown, Tyrell Williams becomes the go-to wide receiver. But now the problem is when he's on the field, maybe Chris Harris, you know, follows him around, and that wouldn't be great either. So I roll it all together. I got a C grade on Tyrell Williams, maybe because Oakland just falls behind by so much so early. They throw the ball a lot, and you just get garbage time out of Tyrell Williams. That's probably your best case scenario. Everybody, if you love the show, please go to fanball.com/charge for my free player rankings, my free $5,000 week one contest. You can join Guillotine Leagues. You can listen to the podcast and more. But mostly, thank you for listening to this show, Fantasy Football Weekly. We're here every weekend, both on the air and via podcast. And especially, we recommend that you listen on the iHeartRadio app. And many thanks to the people who take the time to rank and review the show on your podcasting platform of choice. We always appreciate that. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Talk to you next week, everybody. Good luck in week one.